Immunization Provider Outreach Coordinator for the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. Justin received his BA from Middlebury College and a Master's of Science in Medical Anthropology from the University of London, and he's currently earning his Master's in Public Health at Columbia University. Justin conducts research on improving adult vaccination coverage in New York City through various healthcare provider interventions, and he's going to speak about the impact of a state law on implementation of standing orders for adult immunizations.
Thank you, Megan. So as Megan mentioned, my talk today is on the impact of a state law on the implementation of standing orders for adult immunizations in acute care hospitals in New York City. For today's talk, I'm going to begin by providing some background information, and then I'll describe two surveys on standing orders conducted by the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in 2005 and 2008. I'll also be discussing the impact of New York State Public Health Law, Amendment Number 2805-H, in promoting standing orders, and I'll discuss the impact of standing orders on vaccination coverage. So to start with some background information on New York City, there's a population of about 8.2 million, and approximately 1 million of those inhabitants are persons aged 65 years and older. In terms of hospitals caring for that population, there are 65 acute care hospitals in New York City, approximately 25,000 beds in total, and an average bed size of 377. The impact of influenza and pneumonia in New York City, here are some statistics for 2006. Influenza and pneumonia combined caused 2,577 deaths that year. They were the third leading causes of death. And New Yorkers 65 years age and older, 55% of them reported having received an influenza vaccination that year, while 48% reported having received a pneumococcal vaccination. I'm also going to be talking about non-patient-specific standing order policies today. For those who are not aware, standing orders are programs that authorize licensed practitioners to administer vaccines to patients according to a physician-approved or agency policy without the need for a patient-specific physician's order. It's an evidence-based best practice, and it's recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. The New York City Department of Health has taken various steps to promote standing orders, including provider education efforts. We've written letters from our commissioner to hospital CEOs encouraging the use of standing orders. We've held meetings with public and private hospital associations, and we've also given presentations on standing orders at our immunization coalition meetings. We have in place the Pneumococcal Immunization Initiative. That's a program to provide technical assistance and share best practices on standing orders for hospitals with a focus on pneumococcal vaccination. And we also provide online resources through our website, including sample standing order protocols and implementation plans. So I'm going to be discussing New York State Public Health Law, Amendment Number 2805-H. It became effective on October 24th, 2006. The law requires hospitals to offer influenza pneumococcal vaccination to all patients aged 65 years or older admitted to the hospital. The law states influenza vaccination should be offered between September 1st and April 1st, and pneumococcal vaccination should be offered throughout the year. The law encourages hospitals to implement procedures for offering vaccination against influenza virus and pneumococcal disease. It specifically promotes non-patient-specific standing order policies. And the law also stipulates that all patient records should indicate they were screened for eligibility, and all records should document the reason vaccine was not administered, including patient refusals. So this slide is to talk about the objectives of our survey and give you an idea of the time frame in which the events took place. So in 2005, we conducted a survey to describe the use of standing orders in acute care facilities in New York City. And then late in 2006, New York State Public Health Law becomes effective. And then about a year and a half later, in 2008, we conducted a survey to determine the impact of the law in promoting standing order policies, and also to determine the effect of standing order policies on vaccination coverage. We used similar methods for both the 2005 and 2008 surveys. For both surveys, all acute care hospitals in New York City were surveyed. Both surveys featured a series of questions regarding immunization protocols and monitoring practices in each facility. And we asked the same questions in both surveys in order for the data to be comparable, although a few new questions were added for the 2008 survey. And then each hospital received $5,000 from Healthcare Emergency Preparedness Program grant funding to incentivize participation. I've included a few sample questions from our survey to give you an idea of the questions that we asked. It was divided into various subcategories. In this one on standing orders, we asked, does your facility have standing orders in place in the following departments? And hospitals were asked to indicate yes or no for influenza and pneumococcal vaccine, for inpatient, outpatient, emergency department, and urgent care facilities. We asked hospitals, does your facility monitor the rate at which immunizations are given? And if so, to please answer the following in regards to the current coverage rates of patients vaccinated with, for here, influenza vaccine in those various settings. And we did the same for pneumococcal vaccine. Our survey included questions on standing orders in the postpartum ward. Please indicate which vaccines have standing orders in your postpartum ward. We asked, did your facility encounter any barriers and a resistance to the implementation of a standing order? And does your facility have a policy for addressing patients who refuse vaccines? There were a few differences in the two surveys. In 2005, surveys were mailed, faxed, and emailed to emergency preparedness coordinators, and we accepted submissions in all those forms. We had a 97% completion rate that year, and the survey was conducted from April to June. Then in 2008, we made the survey available online through SurveyMonkey. That was the preferred form of submission, and then we notified EPCs electronically. But in the end, we did accept email, fax, and hard copy submissions. We had a 100% completion rate that year. You notice the sample size was slightly smaller because a few hospitals closed and merged. And the hospital, the survey was conducted from June to August of that year. So now I'm going to share the results with you. This first graph shows the presence of standing orders for influenza vaccination by hospital department, comparing the 2005 data to the 2008. What we saw was that 43 hospitals in 2005, or 65%, reported the presence of a standing order for influenza vaccination in their inpatient facilities, and that increased to 56 hospitals, or 86%, by 2008. We also saw slight increases in the presence of standing order policies in emergency departments and urgent care and fast track settings. And then in 2008, for the first time, we collected data on the presence of standing orders in postpartum wards and found that 24 hospitals had those in place. Unexpectedly, we saw a decrease in the reported use of standing orders for influenza vaccination in outpatient settings. So this graph shows the presence of standing orders for pneumococcal vaccination by hospital department comparing the 2 years. And as you can see, the results are very similar. 44 hospitals in 2005, that increased to 55 hospitals, or 85% by 2008. We noticed the same increases in the use of standing orders in emergency departments and urgent care fast track. Only 18 hospitals reporting the use of standing orders for pneumococcal vaccination in postpartum wards. And again, the unexpected decrease in reported use of standing orders in outpatient facilities. So we also asked hospitals whether or not they monitor vaccination coverage rates. And you can see that in 2005, 15 hospitals, or 23% of hospitals, reported monitoring vaccination coverage rates. That increased to 43 hospitals, or 66%, by 2008. We then took those coverage rates and calculated a mean aggregate inpatient influenza pneumococcal vaccination coverage rates for the hospitals that reported to monitor. In 2005, we only received data on influenza vaccination coverage rates, and 14 hospitals reported a mean coverage rate of 61%. In 2008, we had 34 hospitals report a mean aggregate influenza vaccination coverage of 53%, very similar rate for pneumococcal vaccination. As you can see, far more hospitals are reporting for 2008. And those numbers are slightly smaller than the numbers we saw on this slide because we did not include hospitals that did not provide a coverage rate for that specific department or reported coverage rates as nil. And so another important thing to mention is that hospitals in 2005, no hospitals without standing orders reported monitoring vaccination coverage levels. So for the next few slides, we only have 2008 data. So what we did was we took the inpatient influenza pneumococcal vaccination coverage rates and we separated them by presence of a standing order policy. And what we saw is that hospitals with the standing order policy in place reported higher vaccination coverage rates in their inpatient facilities. This is for both influenza and pneumococcal vaccine. So 30 hospitals with the standing order in their inpatient facility reported a 55% vaccination coverage for influenza, and four hospitals without reported a 38% vaccination coverage level, and an even more noticeable difference among pneumococcal vaccination, and that difference actually was shown to be statistically significant. We also calculated the mean outpatient influenza pneumococcal vaccination coverage rates, slightly fewer hospitals reporting there, only 18 and 17 respectively for influenza pneumococcal, but 50% coverage rates and 48%. Again, when we separated those by the reported presence of a standing order policy, we noticed higher reported vaccination coverage levels for both influenza and pneumococcal vaccination among the hospitals. We also asked hospitals to report barriers that they encountered to the implementation of standing orders. So 48% of hospitals reported encountering barriers. The three predominant barriers mentioned were physician resistance, so physicians feeling responsible, liable for vaccination practices, not wanting to relinquish control over vaccination decisions. Hospitals also reported encountering nursing resistance, complaints that it was outside of their scope of practice, that they did not feel comfortable vaccinating, and complaints about increased paperwork and workload. And lastly, there were concerns about non-communicative patients and their accuracy of vaccination eligibility. We asked hospitals to indicate if they had policies to address patient declinations, and what we found is that almost a third of them were using best practices, which is offering counseling and the mandatory signing of a declination form. About a third of them were doing either or, so only offering counseling or only requiring a declination form. And over a third had no policy in place. So definitely room for improvement there. So a summary of our findings. We noticed that the passage of New York State public health law was associated with increased implementation of standing order policies in inpatient settings, as well as in emergency departments and urgent care fast track facilities in 2008 as compared to 2005. In 2008, almost all New York City hospitals utilized standing order policies in their inpatient facilities. And we also noticed that those hospitals with the standing order policy reported higher vaccination coverage rates in both inpatient and outpatient settings for both influenza and pneumococcal vaccination. There were some limitations to our data. It was all self-reported. Only four inpatient departments without standing orders monitored vaccination coverage rates, and only five outpatient departments without standing orders monitored vaccination coverage rates. And follow-up also revealed that there was variation in ways that hospitals calculated coverage rates. The next steps for the New York City Department of Health is to provide written feedback to hospitals based on the results of these surveys, and to continue to promote the expansion of standing order policies in other departments. As you can see, there is room for improvement in outpatient, emergency department, urgent care, and postpartum facilities. We will continue to provide technical assistance, including promoting the sharing of best practices. And there certainly seems to be a willingness to collaborate, as 92% of hospitals surveyed reported an interest in working with us to strengthen their vaccination programs. And our recommendations based on these findings is that guidance on a standardized methodology for calculating vaccination coverage rates is needed. The National Quality Forum has developed indicators for measuring vaccination coverage levels that have been approved, and we feel those should be promoted. We'd also advocate for federal regulations that require the use of standing order policies They're shown to be the best practice, but yet they're not required. Some suggestions might be for CMS to set minimum coverage levels and require hospitals to take certain steps towards meeting those, and possibly even tying reimbursement into meeting those minimum coverage levels. I'd like to acknowledge Deborah Berg and Dean Itani from the Department of Health for their help with conducting these surveys. And I'd like to thank you all today for coming and listening.